Welcome to Nothing But the Truth with David Johnston. How to discover your spiritual gift.
Have you ever wondered where you fit into the kingdom of God? What is the role that you have in the church? What is the church all about, and where do you fit in? If you've wondered the answer to those questions, then you're going to find this very interesting today, because we want to talk about how to discover your place in the kingdom of God, how to discover your place in the church. The fact is, whether you know this or not, God has endowed you with rich treasures. He has placed in you certain gifting, certain ability. You may not even know what they are. And we're going to discover, as we proceed through these teachings, we're going to discover what prevents us from understanding what are the assets that we really have. How valuable am I? What can I do? Why does God want me? And what can I do in the kingdom of God? Well, what we first must understand is that the church is made up of groups of gifts. So I want to talk about gifts, and eventually I want to get to help you understand and teach you the steps from the scripture on how you can discover your personal gifts. But right now, we must understand that the church is made up of gifts. And so here's what the scripture first says about these gifts. Look at this now. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, look at this. I don't want you to be ignorant. In other words, whatever you're going to be ignorant about, I don't want you to be ignorant about these gifts. So God wants us to understand, and he wants you to understand with precision these instructions from the Bible on gifts. Well, I want you to jump a couple of verses later with me, because we understand that these gifts are divided into three different groups of gifts. And so take a look with me at this text. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. There are different groups of gifts, but they all come from the same Holy Spirit. Now, the Greek word for this gifts here is charisma, which means endowments. And we're going to discover, and you're going to discover, that you have been endowed with rich treasures, and God has made great deposits in you. And the joy in the Christian life is, it comes from discovering what your gifts are, developing those gifts, and then using them for the glory of God. So there are different groups of gifts. In fact, this scripture goes on to tell us that there are three different groups of gifts. Let's take a look at them. The three groups of gifts. Now, there are differences of, look at this first group, is called administration gifts, but the same Lord. Look at the next verse. And there are diversities of operations. So look at this. We got a group called administrations, and we got a group called operations. But it's the same God which is working through all this. Now, watch the third group. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with. Note here the three different groups of gift referred to in this Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5 to 7. And in fact, what we want to do now is we want to put these in a diagram so we can understand them. So look with me at this diagram. We have a group called administration gifts. We have a group called operations. And we have a group called manifestations. The word for manifestations in the Greek is this word phanerosis, P-H-A-N-E-R-O-S-I-S, phanerosis. And the administrative gifts, the Greek word there is diakonion, and the word for operations is energema. So we got these three different groups of gifts. In order to understand the whole church idea, we need to understand that the church is made up of these three gifts. If you understand these three groups of gifts, you will understand what church is about. Because church is not simply a building or a structure, but it is a group of people gifted by God, working together in a team effort, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and with an agenda. And not only with an agenda, but with built-in treasures and assets and value and giftings, which God intends to work. Now, these three groups of gifts are found in different places. Look at it with me. The operation gifts of the Spirit are found in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to go to that list in a moment. And then the administration gifts are found in Ephesians chapter 4. And that group called the manifestation gifts of the Spirit are found in the continuing passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, where we just were. So, the church is made up of gifts. There are different charismas, different groups of gifts. And then the scripture defines these three groups, calls them operations and administrations and manifestations. Now, before we go on further, what I want us to learn is that when we talk about the operation gifts of the Spirit, we're talking about how the Holy Spirit operates through the church. And then the administration gifts are how the Holy Spirit administrates the church and how the Holy Spirit manifests himself through the members of the church. These three different groups of gifts are very, very important. So let's look at these three groups of gifts and see where they come from in Scripture, and let's put them in the diagram. The manifestation gifts. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with. So these are going to be profitable for you. Now watch this. For to one is given by the Spirit, here we got the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Now, I've just read the scripture. I want to put them in a diagram so we can understand them. So let's go to our diagram. And I'm going to change the order just to help you, as you'll see. The first gift is called, that I'm going to make note of, is the Bible talks about tongues. And I know there's a lot of people on two different extremes who will say tongues are not for today, and other people on the other extreme misuse and abuse them. What we want to do is understand, however, that this is in the Bible. And the fact is that we want the answer to abuse and misuse is not no use. So what we want to do is find a Bible balance. The Bible teaches that one of the manifestations of God's Spirit is tongues. And tongues, by the way, according to the Bible, are broken into two categories, known and unknown. The known is broken into two categories, tongues of men, tongues of angels. Okay? So we have tongues of men, that's populations around the earth, different kinds of languages. Then there are unknown, tongues of angels, that languages that angels use. And then there is unknown tongues that is not a formal structured language, but unknown to everybody and anybody but God. All right, now, well, you understand that tongues is either prayer or praise. In fact, we're taught that we are to pray with the Spirit and with our understanding. When you pray in a tongue, remember, it is either prayer or praise. And when we pray, the Scripture says our understanding is unfruitful. We call this non-conceptional prayer. So, tongues is prayer. And on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in different languages and other men from different countries. So how could this be that we hear what there's the mighty works of God in our own languages? And it's because they were speaking the tongues of men. And remember, it's either prayer or praise. It's addressed to God. He that speaketh an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. He speaketh unto God, howbeit then he speaketh mysteries. So saith the Scripture. Well, then there is what we call the interpretation of tongues, the ability, because the Bible prescribes that whenever a tongue is given in the presence of other people, and it's not personal prayer, but in front of a, like a solo in front of a group of people, is to be interpreted to the people so they know what was prayed or praised. That's a gift. And then there's prophecy, the ability to speak the words of God. By the way, the gifts, we group them together because they are called the spoken gifts, because each of them is spoken. Now, the fourth is called the word of knowledge. And, you, of course, you can get knowledge if you go to college. You can get knowledge if you go to God's Word. But there are times when the Holy Spirit wants to manifest to you information, knowledge beyond your years, beyond your experience. Isn't this delightful? He gives it to you as a gift. He gives you a word of knowledge to speak in a given situation. And then we understand the next one is called the word of wisdom. Wisdom is how to apply knowledge. And sometimes these two gifts work very closely together. But you could have some knowledge you learned in college. But when you're going to talk to somebody, God gives you a word of wisdom of how to apply that knowledge in a constructive way. And then we have what's called the discerning of spirits. Now, this is the ability where God gives you the gift to discern what spirit is behind certain kinds of words or activities. Now, there are only four kinds of spirits. Number one, there is the Holy Spirit. Number two, there are angelic spirits. Number three, there are demonic spirits. And number four, there are human spirits. And so this is a gift, the ability to discern what the spirit is behind what's going on. And these three gifts we group together as well because they are called the gifts of revelation, because one reveals knowledge, one reveals wisdom, the other reveals spirits. And then continuing, because there's a total of nine in this manifestation category, look at it with me now, is the gift of faith, where God just gives you faith to do what you didn't know you could do. And then there's a gift of healing. Healing in the Bible comes through several different ways. One of them is a gift. It's just a manifestation of God's Spirit through you imparting healing to somebody. And then the last one in this group is what we call the working of miracles. That is a miracle. It could be a miracle in the weather. Could be a miracle in the change of circumstance. Could be a financial miracle. But it is a manifestation of God's Spirit, another gift of the Spirit. So we have tongues, interpretation of tongues. We have prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. We have faith, healing, and working of miracles. And these are this group found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, nine of them in number, called the manifestation gifts. Now, let's go to the scripture and see what the administration gifts are about. And there is five of them in number. They are found in Ephesians chapter 4. And here's what it says. And it gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. And these are given, and we're going to understand this better later. We're going to come back to this verse. They're given to perfect the saints so the saints can do the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. But let's put this in the diagram. So back to our diagram. First of all, we have apostles. These gifts, by the way, are the administration gifts. They are given not to people, but to the church. An apostle is a missionary. The word apostolos in the Greek means out of the same substance as. So an apostle is someone who from one congregation might be sent to another part of the city or another part of the world, another continent, to start over there what we have here. So apostolos, taking the substance from here and taking it somewhere else, the spiritual substance. And so these are the founders of ministries in other parts of the world, apostles. And then prophets. A prophet is a thus saith the Holy Spirit man. He's a messenger from God to God's people. He usually comes to straighten out problems, and no teacher can explain it. But a prophet can come and give God's opinion, bring closure, bring finality. He's a prophet. And then we have evangelists. An evangelist is a messenger to the unconverted. He also is involved in the local church, teaching the rest of the body of Christ, the rest of the members of the church, how to win people to Christ, how to give your testimony, how to witness, how to lead them to Christ. So an evangelist is a messenger to the unconverted and a teacher of the rest of the church on how to do evangelism. And then we have pastors, another administrative gift given to the church. Pastors are under-shepherds of the great shepherd. Isn't that delightful? We know that the Lord is our shepherd. He is the shepherd. But pastors sort of are under-shepherds, and they look after a flock or a given number of people. And, they do a number of activities. I got a little outline. Let me give it to you. Number one, they are to feed the flock. They are to teach the Word of God, and so the sheep get the right kind of food. So pastor's responsible to feed the flock. And he ought to fence the flock, keep them from wandering off and getting lost in the lone and perilous ways of life. Feed the flock, fence the flock. How about fleece the flock? He's the leader of a local church where the tithes are brought into the storehouse. You don't do the sheep any service by leaving the wool on them. They are to be fleeced. What kills little lambs more than anything else is they go to drink from mother, and instead the ball of wool gets caught in their throat. They choke and they die. So fleece the flock. Feed the flock, fence the flock, feast the flock. And then lastly, sometimes this is a thankless job. Pastors have to, are you ready? Flog the flock. And so if a lamb keeps going astray, the pastor has to bring him back. And in fact, in the Oriental shepherding of sheep, if the lamb kept wandering off and getting stuck on the hillside, he would go out and find him as a faithful pastor. But if necessary, and he kept wandering off, they'd break his legs. And that's what sounds like a terrible thing to do. But then the pastor, the shepherd, would carry that little lamb for days because he couldn't walk. And in carrying the lamb developed a new care for the shepherd and the shepherd for the lamb. And then as he got stronger, the shepherd would let the little lamb down and he would hobble along. But if he couldn't keep up, the shepherd would pick him up and carry him again until he really got strong. Once he got strong, he never went astray anymore because he developed a new relationship with the shepherd. By the way, really quick, in your teaching notes, jot down this Psalm 119, verse 50, 67, 71, 75, and 92. And I know you didn't get that fast, so let me say it again. If you read these five verses in sequence, you will understand why God allows pastors to do the kind of activities I just told you about. Psalm 119, verse 50, then 67, then 71, then 75, and 92, and you'll grasp the picture of what pastors do. Well, the fifth in this category is teachers. They explain the Bible, and these are called the administrators. Look at them again, because this, you see, is how the Holy Spirit manifests himself through the church. This is how the Holy Spirit administrates the church. And now we're about to find out how the Holy Spirit operates through the church. So let's go to Romans chapter 12 and look at that scripture. Here it is. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And now it starts to list seven, what we call the operation gifts of the Spirit. And if it's prophecy, then prophesy according to the proportion of faith that you have, or ministry, I use the word serving there, let us wait on our serving, or teaching, let's look at the next one, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth, do it with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, we have listed there, but you'll see them better when we put them on the diagram. Let's go back to the diagram and put them there. The first one is proclaiming. This is one who has the ability to speak. He is a black and white person, and he wants to bring you to Christ. He wants to deal with your sin. He's a proclaimer of the gospel. And some people are endowed with this gifting. How delightful that is. The second is servers. You see, the proclaimer proclaims the love of God, but the server demonstrates the love of God through the doing of good deeds. And then the third one is the teacher. He, watch this now, the proclaimer proclaims it, the server demonstrates it through doing good deeds, but the teacher explains it. It was said of Jesus, he sat down, then opened he their understanding to what the word of the Lord said. You see, Jesus did all of these perfectly. And in this group called the operations, remember, when Jesus was here, it was the Holy Spirit operating through Jesus. And didn't he do all of these? Oh, this is so delightful. Proclaiming, speaking to reveal a man's sin in order to bring him to Christ. Serving, demonstrating love of God through the doing of good deeds. Teaching, explaining the word of God. Well, the next one is called exhorting. This is someone who has the ability to stimulate someone else's faith, to motivate them. His focus, of course, is on progress. He sees that you're here and you should be here. And so he's going to give you a Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit. He's going to motivate you to get you from point A to point B. He's an exhorter. These are delightful people. because they're always, when you come away, that you'll always feel like you go out and conquer the world because they've stirred you up so well. And then there's the gift of giving. This is someone who has the ability to make money, which he entrusts to others to free them from financial responsibility so they can do whatever their gift is. So you see, if the giver gives, then the proclaimer, without other financial responsibility, can proclaim, and the server can serve, and the teacher can teach, and the exhorter can exhort. He's the fundraiser. He's the money man. He thinks how much was in the offering, and he is a giver. He can take a $10 bill, put wheels under it, turn it into 100. Turn 100 into 1,000, and he gets great delight in making money to give to the work of the ministry so other people can do whatever their ministry is. And then ruling. This is someone who has the ability to administrate ruling. Many ladies think this is their gift. Just joking. Some ladies really do have this gift of administration. The ability to oversee. Watch this now, because this is important. Looking at the diagram, what does the ruler do? This is a person with the ability of administration. So when he finds out a need and someone says, oh, would you pray for my son? He's not saved. Well, the ruler makes a little note and he goes find a proclaimer and sends a proclaimer over to preach the gospel to the son. Well, the lady says, my son knows the gospel, he just doesn't understand. Well, then the ruler will send a teacher over there to explain it to him. Well, he understands it, but he just doesn't feel like doing it. Well, then the ruler will send an exhorter over there to stimulate his faith. The ruler sees the big picture, provides creative outlets for all the other members of the body to function. So he's in a position of leadership, and he provides an opportunity for the proclaimer to proclaim, the server to serve, the teacher to teach, the exhorter to exhort, the giver to give. He is the administrator. Oh, this is such a delightful person. He makes everything work together. Well, the last in this group is the one who's called the shower of mercy. Perhaps the shower of mercy is best personified in the story of the certain Samaritan. Remember? The guy was on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was beaten by robbers, left for dead, and they stole everything he had. Along came a priest. Can you imagine that? And walked by on the other side. And wouldn't help him. And the Levite came by and then finally, a Samaritan who had little or no dealings with the Jew, he came by. Well, he saw the man. He gave him a drink out of his canteen. He patched up his wounds the best he could. He loaded him on his jeep or whatever he was traveling by. Took him down to the hospital and paid the bill for them to look after. He was the one who demonstrated mercy. Showers of mercy are those who are moved by how other people feel and want to move in and help them. Now, before we conclude, I want you to keep your eyes on this diagram again. Remember, this is how the Holy Spirit manifests himself. This is how the Holy Spirit administrates the church. And this is how the Holy Spirit operates through the church. Now, watch again. Because in this first column, this is how the Holy Spirit operated through Jesus. Jesus did all of these perfectly. You see, didn't he proclaim? And didn't he serve? Remember, he undid the shoes, washed the feet of his disciples. And didn't he teach? Just drop in there at Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. Listen to a sermon. Didn't he teach? Sermon on the Mount. And didn't he motivate people? Didn't he give? Didn't he rule? And didn't he show mercy? Jesus did all of these perfectly. Now watch here, because I want you to grasp this, that God has put one of these gifts in you. Now don't try to choose your gift, you'll mess up the whole. Because see, he's the giver of every good and perfect gift that cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variables, neither shadow of turning. You don't get to choose your gift. You just get to learn how to discover it, then develop it, and then use it. But you may never have seen your personal worth. But you see, this first group begins in Romans chapter 12, where it says, it's talking about the members of the body of Christ, the members of the church. There are only seven kinds of members in the body of Christ, and you are one of those seven. 1 Corinthians 12:27 comes along and says this, now you are the body of Christ, and you are a member in particular. The greatest delight in the Christian life is to discover what member of the body of Christ you are. How do you fit into the kingdom of God? How important are you? What is your worth? What is your value? And you will know your worth, rather, when you discover which of these first seven is your personal gift. So this is how the Holy Spirit operates for the church. But he gives this group, and what did this group do? They focus their gifts back on this group to develop and mature them so they could do the work of the ministry. And what is the, now watch this. Watch, let me just erase this. These are the administers, but these are the ministers. These are administers, oversee. What are the ministers? What is the work of the ministry? It's all described categorically right here. Proclaiming, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, and showing mercy. And the next time we get together, I want us to learn how these three groups work together, where you fit in. I want to point out the differences between one group and the other, and I want to be able to answer the question, are there any gifts, other gifts that are not listed in this compilation? And then, of course, the real ultimate question is how you can find your place in this, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that kingdom of God, by discovering your personal gift.